Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. Solomon is known as what? The wise. And we can see Ecclesiastes' musings through the Proverbs and through Ecclesiastes. He just says things that absolutely make sense, but you just wonder where it came from. Because he just, it's like he interrupts a thought to give a thought. But God, through his providence, has given it to us in the Bible. And as we look at it tonight, we see that, number one, Solomon was a king. He was a wealthy king. He had prominence, popularity. You know, people liked him. And yet, he knew God. He spoke to God. God spoke to him. If you will, his comfort, something was missing. Something. And I talk to people all the time, and you look at their lives, and their life it looks like a good life from the outside looking in. It looks like they got things under control and things figured out, and life is working out pretty good. They don't seem to have any major problems. But if you sit down and talk with them, something's missing. And we talk about Solomon, and we know that he had a relationship with God. And as I look around, I see people who are saved. You know, you have accepted Christ as your Savior. You know he's your Lord. You can talk to him. We have. We live in America. Isn't that great? We have air conditioning. And he, today, might have needed the heat. And yet, even among our people, sometimes, something's missing. Something's missing. And we look at Solomon here in verse number 1. I said in my heart, go to now, prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He discovered in a pretty good mood. And if they're laughing, of course we think, well, they're in a good mood. Or singing. And yet he said it was vanity. He thought he could find joy and if he just immersed himself in fun, it's got to work out, right? It's got to change my attitude. It's got to fill the void that's missing. If I'll just laugh it up, tell jokes, and yet as we look at recent history, we see comedians in our culture who take their own life. If we go over here to chapter 1, we can search out a wisdom concerning all things. And so education. And I know some really educated people. Pursued and continued, and they didn't even take a semester because they wanted to get that degree. They wanted to get that piece of paper that made them a doctor, a PhD, master's, bachelor's, whatever it is. And even you know what he told me? Accomplish that. It's his goal. It's his vision. It's his idea of what will fulfill him and give him satisfaction. And yet he's reached a point in his pursuit of education where he says something. Listen. In verse number 3, I sought in my heart to give unto wine, yet acquainted my heart with wisdom. for the make a year, the prophets. Because people think, well, if I just get enough of this, it'll take away my burdens. It'll fill that void. It'll take away the void. And yet what they do leaves them dissatisfied. There's still something missing. They give to wise, yet I'll still be wise. And give to folly and just party up, party down. Well, verse 4, I made great works, projects, right? Well, if I just build something, if I can occupy myself and stay busy, what do you think, and I don't, if I can just stay occupied, if I can just find something to do and keep myself busy, won't have to sit down and have my thoughts to myself, because that's when I realize something's missing. I'm not satisfied. And so he made projects. He had projects. He had gardens. He had stables. Of course, he was instrumental in the building of the temple. I mean, that was his project. And yet, all of this work that he did, something was missing. There was still a void. That's fine. Look at verse number 5, and it explains that I made gardens, orchard, trees, all kind of fruits, pools of water to water therewith the wood that bring forth the trees. Got servants, verse 7. Maidens, servants born in my house, had great possessions, great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem. Had everything you could think of, wealth, influence. I had lots of stuff. Why? Well, the same reason that we do it. If I just had that car, I'd be happy. If I just had that truck, I'd be happy. If I just had that house, I'd be happy. If I just had that microwave. I mean, it just depends on your dreams, right? You ever seen a toaster and say, boy, if I had that, I'd be good. And yet, sometimes, for some people, it's as simple as if I just had that pair of shoes, I'd have everything I need. And so we think about these things, this stuff, and we see it and we want it. And unfortunately, sometimes that happens because somebody else has one. Right? Well, they've got one, so if I had one, I'd be as happy as they are. Well, let me tell you something. The stuff they've got doesn't make them happy, and you having it won't make you happy. That's not what makes us happy. That's not what fills that void. And Solomon, at the end of this, he said, and I still wasn't satisfied. It was vanity. It was no value, no depth. It didn't meet my need. Verse number 8, I gathered also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. Got men singers, women singers, the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments, and that of all sorts. Right? Because that's got to do it. I mean, that's got to meet the need. If I was just cultured with orchestras and symphonies, if I just heard choirs, if I just had that, it would meet that need. It would fill my depth. And the wine and I walk out my window and I see the pools and the gardens and the ostriches and the gorillas. I mean, these are some of the things he collected. Zebras. Just everything you could think of. And he looked at all that stuff. He said, it's useless. It didn't meet my need. Gold and silver, he could go. Remember, the Queen of Sheba came and he showed her, this is where I keep all the gold. It didn't meet the need. It didn't satisfy. That's not what satisfies us. Verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom remained with me. Remember, when he went to God and prayed, he didn't ask for riches, he just asked for wisdom. And God said, not only will I give you wisdom, but I'll also add to you material things, riches. And he says, so I got everything that I asked for and that God asked for, or that God gave me. Verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. No discipline, no self-control. If he would walk through the Home Depot and he saw it and he wanted it, he'd get it. That's a good feeling, isn't it? But it doesn't fill the need. Walk through the mall and see it, and if he wanted, he'd buy it. You ever see something, you think, oh, that's beautiful, I ought to buy that, and then you think, well, what would I do with it if I had it? Solomon didn't take that second thought to back off. If he saw it, he wanted it, he'd buy it. He didn't care if he needed it or what he would do with it. If he wanted it, he'd get it. He indulged himself. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Well, we could start looking at all the wives he had, right? And the concubines he had. He had so many women in his life. Everyone he saw that he wanted, he just said, come with me. But it didn't meet the need. It didn't satisfy him. All the things that the world tells us today, if you'll just get this, the commercials, they tell us, if you'll just get this, you'll have everything you need. Man, you'll be satisfied, you'll be happy, you'll be healthy. And yet, in verse 11, he says, there was no profit under the sun. And all that I did, in all of my work, there was no value. When I sat back and looked at it, and I hope that at some point in your life, you're able to sit back and look at your home, your family, your yard, whatever it is that you look at, and you sit there and you just say, God's been good to me. But I don't see that anywhere in chapter 2. He knew it. He knew that God had given him all that, and yet there was something missing. And this instruction is so important, look, for young people to understand that it's not going to meet your need. You can get the jet skis and the boats, and you can go ice, snow skiing or ice skating or climb mountains or whatever, and it's satisfying. But it's not lasting. It doesn't fulfill your needs, our needs. Verse 12, I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness, to consider folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. He said, what's left to do? I've done it all. In his mind, he had done everything he could ever think of possibly doing. And I saw wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Solomon says, I'll give you this, and it reminds me of something that Zig Ziglar used to say. He said, I've been rich, and I've been poor, and rich is better. You know, having the ability to get what we want, to buy what we need, to fulfill those minimal expectations of life, he said it's good. That's what Solomon says here. Solomon says, I don't want you to think that I didn't get any joy out of the things I did, but it just wasn't lasting. The wisdom is better than foolishness, folly. It's better to be smart. It's better to read books and to learn stuff. It's better. But in the end, what are we pursuing? Because I came to the conclusion that we all have one common event. When they dig that hole in the ground, 6 feet long and 6 feet deep, that's where the body goes. And it doesn't matter at that point how much money you had. You might have a nicer casket than mine, but I'm not going to be in mine anyway. Isn't that the truth? One event happens to them all. And so he stepped back and looked at all the things he'd worked hard for. All of his efforts. And he wondered and he mused. Why? Why am I doing all this stuff when it doesn't give me lasting satisfaction? When it doesn't fulfill the desires that deeper than the surface? He says, anything I desired, I got. But there's something deeper. Verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. That's a huge statement. I don't know if you do, but I do know people who could say that. Because they've chased what they've chased and it didn't give them fulfillment. Their pursuits, their desires, their accomplishments didn't meet the need. Let me remind you, this is a man who knows God. This is a man who talks to God and God talks back. It just doesn't get any better than that. He said, the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I've worked hard, I've done stuff, but in the end, all I did was act. So why? Because I gave it to the man that shall be after me. He said, I did all this stuff, and yet when I go, somebody else is going to get it. It's interesting, isn't it, that he went that far. He became dissatisfied with everything when he realized none of it is permanent, and that death took him out of all he had acquired. Verse 23. For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. All he's done, all the worries, all the stuff. And he said, there's no rest. There's no peace. Verse 24. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Ooh. Some wisdom that didn't come from Solomon, but came from heaven. What's he saying? He's saying, live life. Live. Live. And this is one of the things he said, and it's kind of coded in there. If we do something that has purpose to it, if we feel like there's value in our work, not just busyness, but value, that brings satisfaction. When we're doing something for something bigger than ourselves, I think about that story of the train and the two men, the conductor and the owner of the railroad was there. And I know I've told this story before, but and the conductor says to the owner, hey, Jimmy, how you doing? He says, Bob, how are you? Good. He says, come on board and let's chat. And so he went in the owner's private car and they chatted a while. And then the owner said, well, I've got to get on with some business, but let's get together real soon. And the conductor walked back out and one of the other train railroad guys was there. And he said, that's the owner of the railroad, isn't it? He said, sure is. He said, how do you know him? He said, we started working for this railroad the same day. We met together the same day at this job. And he said, well, Bob, I don't mean to offend you, but how's Jimmy the owner of the railroad now and you're just the conductor? He said, because I came to work for a paycheck and Jimmy came to work for the railroad. You see, he was in it for himself. And the other guy was in it for the greater cause. You say, well, a railroad's not a great cause, but if you love what you do, if you enjoy what you do, if there's purpose in what you do, it gives you meaning. Something bigger and beyond ourselves. A lot of people just go to work for one reason, a paycheck. By the way, I understand if they didn't pay you, you wouldn't go. I understand that side. But that's the, you know, they don't get a job that means something, that brings value to them, that has purpose to it. They just get a paycheck. And when we get to the end of that job, how we're helping, it's meaningful. It's bigger than just a job. We just spend all of our time chasing stuff and chasing money and paycheck. We're going to come to the end and get to that same verse that Solomon said, I hate life because I'd wasted my life. I wasted it pursuing things that didn't matter. It didn't make a difference. You know, the value of the church making a difference for people today. We're making a difference for people today. But we're making a lifelong difference for people by when they get to be with God with everlasting life. That's the value. Not pursuing stuff. Means it's, look, the ministry of Capitol Heights Baptist Church is not about the things and the stuff. Though I'm proud of what we have and thankful for those who work so hard and give so much, get what it is. But our business is souls, is lives. Our business is eternity. What God wants. What God sees we need. Wisdom and knowledge and joy. But the sinner he giveth to gather and heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. Look, living for God is better. Like Solomon said, wisdom is good. Walking with God, living for God is better. Solomon had a relationship with the Father. Again, he talked to the Father talked to him. And yet, in that relationship, he started getting his eyes on other things. He started wanting other things and accumulating and pursuing other things. And when he got distracted and started looking at all that stuff, his relationship with God took a back seat. And when our relationship with God takes a back seat, it won't satisfy. We won't have that fulfillment. Because what satisfies us is our communion with God. And that's the lesson in Ecclesiastes 2. Instead of all those wives and all that stuff, he could have just kept what he had to begin with. He might not have had lots of gold and silver and exotic animals and exotic people and relationships like that. But he would have had the desire of his heart by just spending time with God. And I know there's a balance to that. I know that you know, at some point we look at our lives and we say, well, that's good that I've got all this stuff or that I don't need all that stuff, but I've got my walk with God. Let's focus on that. That's what matters. Let's stand. Father, we are thankful for your presence and your power and your love. We ask that you would direct our hearts, our lives, that you will keep our focus, our vision on the things that matter. Because the reality is, as we pursue and accumulate and chase and desire so many things in this life, they don't satisfy. The joy they bring is temporary. And we find that we've wasted so much time doing things that don't make a difference. And our desire tonight, our prayer tonight is that you will make a difference through us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.